Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey Chicago, what do you say? It's the CHGO Cubs postgame podcast presented by PointsBet. Use that promo code CHGO when you sign up to get two risk-free bets up to $2,000. Cubs beat the Marlins 2-1, and good thing they didn't trade Wilson Contreras. We've got everybody ready for the postgame show. Jared Wills will be joining us from Wrigley Field once he gets done in the clubhouse. Cody Delmendo from the road in his car. That's how important this is to Cody. Ryan Herrera drove back from St. Louis. He's at home doing his podcast thing. And what a finish. What a finish. I mean, they were getting no hit most of the game. And I said on the chat, I said, all I can hope for, the only hope out there, Wilson Contreras, miracle finish, first game back at Wrigley. That's what makes base. You know, I mean, obviously the team stinks and they're out of it and they're going to lose a lot of games. This is what makes baseball great and fun and why you still watch the games.
Yeah, I mean, it was really good. Like, as someone who was listening to Zach Zaman and Ron Coomer the entire game and being in the middle of traffic, you know, trying to leave Chicago, I was kind of like Stucky sometimes at the office about like falling asleep on the road almost. Like it was a very dull game. Right. But yeah, Wilson Contreras, man, like anyone else feel like it's kind of a sign that maybe they made the right move? I don't know. Too early to tell, but yeah, it's awesome to see. Pitching was great today. Nick Madrigal, two hits too. Like, I don't know. There's whether they would have won or lost this game. I was just happy that Madrigal had two hits. So, and the pitching was good. So, the fact that Contreras hits a go-ahead homer in the bottom of the eighth inning, it's awesome. It's and to snap the losing streak too. It was like four or five games at this point. So, yeah, man. Good vibes. Friday, 120 ball game. I'm sure Corey was absolutely ecstatic to see how that one ended.
Yeah, I also was stuck in traffic for a little while there, Cody. Getting back here, I'll tell more about my hectic last like 4 days. Like, maybe we can talk about it in a sec. But yeah, no, following along. I mean, at one point, Madrigal had the only two hits for the Cubs. But you know, the pitch. I mean, Steele had 4 1/3, I believe, today. But then just the bullpen just kind of keeping the Marlins down, giving the Cubs a chance to, you know, do something. And then obviously Madrigal gets on, I think Ortega moves him over to second. So he's in position to score, but it didn't matter because Wilson, big blast, the home run, return to Wrigley, you know, is overall maybe not the best game to watch. I don't know. I didn't watch the whole game. Luke, you could probably speak better to that.
But
the way it ended, you know, again, Wilson returning. It's like, it's weird saying he returned home. He never went anywhere. You know, that just the way he left last week with the kind of goodbye and then having to say, welcome back, Willie. That was a big hit for him. Obviously, I'm going to assume an emotional moment for him too.
No curtain call. Where was the curtain call?
I don't know. That's what Corey said. But you know what? I mean, it's, you think about it, like you can look at the box score, you can look at all this other stuff, but at the end of the day, a W is a W, no matter how you got it. So, this feels like it's going to be a happy postgame show today.
Yeah, Marquis showing right now, actually, that he's Wilson's now 11 behind Jody Davis for second place in home runs for Cubs catchers all time. So he's closing in on number two, and you would have thought he would never have had a chance to do it. But now, you know, if he hits 11 more this season, next 2 months, it's possible he could catch Jody Davis second all-time on the home run list. It was, you know, he was a little emotional after the game in the post-game interview, as you would expect. not you know, crying or anything, but just, you know, happy to be back, talking about that he could hear the fans going crazy and what it means to him. And, you know, a couple things. One, cool that he did it in the return to Wrigley Field after all that he went through leading up to the trade deadline. But he's also doing this as a designated hitter, which, you know, a lot of this offense is coming that way. And it, sometimes guys don't find it that easy to be a DH and still stay in the game, stay focused, and be able to produce offensively as just a designated hitter. He's done that well, which is another reason why I'm surprised they weren't able to trade him. So to the Mets, the Padres, whoever else was out there and didn't want Wilson Contreras, go pound sand, because you guys could have had the guy that just had a walk-off winner and you blew it. Whatever you were offering certainly wasn't enough. And, you know, maybe that's a two-way street, but I think there's some teams maybe that watched that today and were like, no, maybe we should have given up what we were thinking about giving up. You know, they might regret it in the long run.
Well, he's been hitting since the deadline ended, right? He had a, you know, he had a good series in St. Louis and then the home run today. So, I mean, that July was brutal for him. So, I mean, it's hard to put all of it on the fact of the distraction of the deadline, but it seems like what we saw in April and May and June is, for Wilson at least, is back. And yeah, I mean, I'd love for all those teams that were quote unquote interested in him to completely regret that. I doubt the Padres will, but I mean, you know, the teams like the Rays and the Mets. Yeah. I hope they regret it, because those are the two teams for sure I thought, you know, really could have used his bat. So, you know, we'll see. We'll see how it plays out, and we'll see if, again, we'll see if this, his play in the second half really has much to do with, or if it plays into how much he can get on the open market in the offseason.
I see Jack R. saying in the chat that he thinks Contreras will accept the qualifying offer and then they'll work out an extension. I heard Boog on the radio saying, yeah, maybe, you know, maybe he will accept it. I'll put 20% chance on that he'd accept the qualifying offer when it comes. And the radio guys were trying to talk him down. I think it was on the Score, but I don't remember which station he does that with. But so not a great chance. I don't think most people think it's a great chance he'll accept it, because it's one, his one shot at free agency. But if it, you know, like $20 million, I don't think he's going to get that per season. So if he's looking for one payday and then still confident in himself that he'd get a multi-year deal that would earn him some money, maybe there's hope you get one more season out of this. What do you guys think? You think there's a chance that he would accept the qualifying offer or somehow be back?
I don't know. Maybe. Yeah. Especially if he goes out there and kind of sees maybe the market for him and free agency, especially with, you know, the comp pick that'll be attached to it.
Right.
Kind of is, I think, just in theory going to bring down the market. Teams don't necessarily want to give up a draft pick. So maybe he goes out there, sees the market for him this off season isn't where he wants it to be, and maybe he does accept the qualifying offer. I don't know. That's I believe Wilson's kind of kicking that can down the road, because he's, this kind of whole season he's talked about just wanting to focus on baseball, and obviously this last month the whole trade deadline and the will they won't they kind of thing weighed on him. And now that that's off his shoulders, he you know, again, we talked about it the other day, but he talks about just kind of feeling relieved, being happy that it's over. So I think, you know, I think he just wants to get back to playing baseball and focusing on baseball and not worrying about whether the Cubs are going to extend a qualifying offer for him or whether he's going to get an extension talks or whether he's going to just test free agency and go from there. I think maybe kick the can down the road isn't the right term, but I think he's just trying to focus on baseball over the last 2 months of the season, especially now that, you know, the Cubs didn't trade him. He got to come back to Wrigley. He got to, he at least gets to finish out the season in a Cubs uniform. I think that's just what he wants to worry about is just playing his best baseball for the Cubs.
16 homers now in the season, near insane. Maybe a rebuilding team would give him 4 years, $60 million. Yeah, I mean, I could see a deal like that. You know, I think there will be. It's not like he's not going to make his money in Major League Baseball. He's still going to make a lot of money playing professional baseball. I just think maybe the market isn't quite like a lot of the Cubs core guys. Maybe the market isn't quite what we thought it would be and maybe what they thought it would be in some cases. Cody is, again, from his car at a rest stop somewhere on the way to Southern Illinois. Cody, where are you exactly? The AC's off. What is the temperature gauge in your car right now?
Well, my Apple Watch is telling me it is 86 degrees.
That's hot.
And it's telling me I'm in Thawville, Illinois right now. I'm right off I-57. I'm actually going to Champaign. That's my first stop. I'm going to Champaign to meet up with my buddy Steve. Not Luke, but you know what I mean. Maybe it's the other Steve. I don't know.
You going to the Red Lion down there?
I've been there, but no, I am not
Cam's.
Going there.
Cam's.
Cam's also a great spot. Yeah.
Isn't there a bar that just closed down there a couple years ago, like a mainstay bar? I didn't go to Illinois.
I thought Cam's was supposed to close for a while, right?
And then they reopened.
Yeah.
Clyde's might have closed down. Clyde's was a big one.
I think Clyde's is the one that closed down.
Anyway, we don't got to talk about
my younger days really liked Clyde's, not anymore. Nope. So anyway, yeah, I'm in a rest stop right now in the middle of nowhere. Would have already been to Champaign if the traffic getting out of Chicago wasn't so awful. But you know, we're making it happen, man. So
Luke, David yeah. Snyder. David Snyder points out about the sixth inning. Again, I haven't gotten a chance to watch it. But the Cubs getting guys second and third, nobody out. I believe it was Madrigal and Ortega, three straight strikeouts. Tell us what you saw. You're the one watching. Tell us what you saw.
No, I mean, there were a lot of strikeouts. I mean, it wasn't just the Cubs. It was just a game full of strikeouts. At one point, I don't know if it went over this, but it was in the eighth inning, I think, and we had 25 strikeouts in the game. I mean, guys were striking out. And I guess if I remember correctly, in that sixth inning, there were a couple questionable calls where the guys kind of turned around and weren't happy with the calls. But, I mean, it was not a great offensive game for the Cubs. I mean, through six innings, they were no hit. You know, so it was just another one of those typical games that we've seen this season, despite having what was supposed to be a more versatile offense or, you know, a different type of offense and different type of hitters. They're still striking out a lot. And I don't know that necessarily has to do with the type of hitters they are, meaning contact guys or home run guys. They strike out a lot because they aren't a great team. You know, I mean, I don't know how else to say it. You can't sugarcoat it. They're not a very good team, so they're going to strike out a lot. That's just the way it is. And they really didn't deserve to win this game, other than the fact that Justin Steele was good. You know, his pitch count was way up, 10 strikeouts, 4 2/3, 4 hits, no earned runs. And he'd been doing better. I think, Ryan, you pointed it out a couple podcasts ago that, you know, he'd been going deeper in the game now. That's progress we'd seen from him, that he'd been taking games a little bit deeper and being able to stay in there longer. The 10 strikeouts was great, but you'd like to have him in there more than 4 2/3. But he was really good today when he was in there.
Yeah, that's, you know, well, yeah, 4 2/3. I mean, 10 strikeouts, I think that is a career high or ties a career high.
Yeah, tied his career high.
I think he had 10 a month or so ago. I don't remember which team. Yeah, that's one of the things, again, we've talked about, just him going deeper into games. Hopefully Jared can give us a little bit of insight on what David Ross saw in there. I think I might have – I don't know if I did say that Steele gave up the run. He didn't give up the run. I might have said that at the top, but he didn't.
He was scoreless.
Like you said, it looked like he was good while he was in there. It's just about, you know, being able to maybe even just be more efficient with the pitches. He did. I mean, he had a 33% whiff rate today, 32% called strike plus whiff. So he's missing a lot of bats and getting a lot of guys to look. Is that, I mean, I don't even want to see you want to trade that off with just getting guys to put balls in play. Cause you know, Justin Steele doesn't give up a lot of hard contact. Like we've talked about that. The barrel rate is, at least last time I checked, was near the top of the league, for qualified guys. Yeah, you don't want to trade that off, because if he's missing a lot of bats, like, that's a good thing. You don't want to stop him from striking guys out or getting whiffs or any of that kind of stuff. But I wonder how to balance that, because he had 93 pitches through 4 2/3. I mean, It's weird. It's kind of like a weird balance, if you guys know what I'm trying. I don't even know what I'm trying to say. But if you guys get what I'm saying, it's like he looked good while he was in there, but he wasn't able to go long enough.
Right. It wasn't an ideal start because he couldn't put the two things together. You know, it would have been a great start if he could have gone two more innings. And I thought there were a couple interesting things from the broadcast today. One, whenever you have Dempster, it's just a different view than JD. So you kind of get like two different perspectives. You always hear JD's version of what pitchers are doing. And Dempster just kind of pointed out, you know, that like his 92, 93 is deceiving. His release point is deceiving. He's a little more deceiving. So his 92, 93 sometimes plays like guys in their high 90s. And sometimes that's more effective than a guy that throws 98 miles an hour, but can't pinpoint where that location needs to be. If you can work where you want that 92, 93 to go and have a little deception in your delivery, then you can be really effective. And he was. And then the other thing was Ross talking whenever he comes on. I think it's, you know, Fridays with Rossi or whatever they call it. But he was talking about, again, the John Lester thing, which was the comment, don't show him your secondary pitches that first time through the order. If you feel confident in that fastball, and Steele did today, pound the fastball, make them hit it, see if they can hit it. And if they can't, you've saved those secondary pitches for that next time through. And that's what's been allowing him to reach longer into the game. At this point, he just got in trouble. Like, I think it was the fourth inning. He had bases loaded, one out. It took him a long time to get out of the inning. So all in all, he's looked really good this season. I mean, I have no complaints about Steele or Thompson overall for this season. I think you have to be pretty impressed with both of them for sure.
Yeah, and I think, again, you talk – I think that's just the one thing, is that Steele seems to have that one inning when he works a lot. We're going to maybe say it every time.
Yeah.
But he does look good this year, and that's what you want, is like, especially when he's, like you said, the fastball, making him hit it like the first time through the order. He has that little natural action on it too that helps it play even better. I mean, that's just the thing. It's like you just want him to go longer, right? You just want him to, because he looks so good when he's in there. You just want him to be able to do that for long, like, you know, longer, more innings, more, you know, less pitches, more innings. I think that's just maybe the next step to unlocking what Steele can be, because he does look good. And that's a testament to him and, you know, coming up last season, you know, getting thrown into the rotation at the end of the year, you know, working on things all this season, and just becoming a guy that you look at 2023 and it, like, if he's not a lock for the rotation, then he's certainly on his way, right? Like, I don't know. We don't know what the Cubs are going to do in the offseason, but he looks like a guy, if they're not adding four or five pitchers to the staff, like, he's in there, right?
Why wouldn't they? He's cheap right now. Like, you're not going to go add like three starting pitchers and spend a bunch of money there if you can have Steele and Thompson giving you good outings, if not, you know, great outings sometimes. I think it was Jack R just said, right now for next year, you know, he'd love an ace to be the one, Stroman to be the two, Hendricks the three, Steele four, Thompson, Killian, or Wisniewski five. You know, how do you guys feel about that? Like, yes, they probably still need that frontline guy, and I don't know how long Hendricks will be around, but I do feel comfortable in Steele and Thompson. And I'm not going to put a limit on these guys and say one of them, some, you know, I'm not going to put a limit on somebody and say somebody couldn't turn into the ace, because I don't know how many people ever thought that Kyle Hendricks was going to be an ace when they got him in the Dempster deal. And in many ways, you could say Kyle Hendricks has been the ace of the Cubs. You know, if it weren't for Lester, I mean, guy won game seven of the World Series. So I don't know if the ace has to be as dominant as Jacob DeGrom to go win a World Series. You just need him to be really good and pitch in big games.
Yeah, I mean, when I look at the rotation right now, and you figure in Killian and you figure in Wisniewski, I think Killian has like the best like stuff, like high velocity, and, you know, has been a starter throughout his entire minor league career, right? But obviously the command issues have been a thing. Did have a good start yesterday, so that's good news. Hopefully that's a good that begins a trend, and they can, you know, give him another chance up here with the Cubs. But as far as, like, you know, with Steele and Thompson and Stroman and Hendricks, like, all I'll say is that I just don't think you can go into 2023 with Kyle Hendricks as any better than your number five. And that's nothing against him. He's just older. I mean, David Ross told Jared today, pregame, that like he still hopes that Hendricks will pitch this year, but he's still far away. Like, I swear it was like a month ago. They were like, oh, it's going to be 2 or 3 weeks. Well, it's been 2 or 3 weeks, but we still don't really have an update. So like, I don't know. It would depend on if he can come back and prove that he's healthy at the end of the year. But again, it has nothing to do with whether I think Kyle Hendricks is good or not. It's just he's older now. And I just feel like at this point in his career, he always was really good as a bottom of as a back end of the rotation type guy. And if you got young guys like Killian and Wesneski on top of Steele and Thompson and Stroman, like, I think you have to value the younger guys more. The one and all those, well, except for Killian and Wesneski, those guys have proven that they deserve to be higher in the rotation. I mean, the only thing that you really can complain about Steele for the entire season really is just his inconsistency on going deeper in the games. But I mean, the stuff plays, he doesn't give up home runs. Thompson, he's a little bit of the opposite. He's been able to go deeper into games, but he has given up more home runs than Steele. So you even it out a little bit and go for next year, and you hope that, you know, they take another step into their development next year. And then Stroman's going to be your, you know, 2 or 3, whatever, like in the rotation. But yeah, you definitely need to go get a guy. I don't think it's going to be Jacob DeGrom as much as I would like it to be, because he ain't going to leave the Mets to come to the Cubs with the state of the Cubs. But I would love a Jacob DeGrom to be every fifth day pitching at Wrigley Field. You know what I mean? But yeah, whoever they can go get. But I also feel like, again, you, with the high upside that Killian and Wesneski are, and with the position the Cubs are in, yeah, I wouldn't even be surprised if they didn't go get a top end arm and maybe just re-sign Miley. And you got Smiley for another year too because of the mutual option. I'm sure that they will come to a mutual option just because he's so cheap. Like, I could see them just not getting that top end starter and then just throwing Killian or Wesneski or whoever and just like play it out. See if one of those guys emerges and becomes like your number one. Is that what I want them to do? No, I'd rather them just go get a guy who's proven, but until further notice, as we sit here at the beginning of August, like, I just feel like they need to invest more money into position players.
Yeah, yeah. I've got a couple ideas for it. Like, let's hold off on it for a second. Cody, tell us about our bets, and we'll get back to the pitching because there are a couple timely things that go with that. And I agree with Cody in that I don't think you want Hendricks being like your 2 or 3 next year. You want him more like your 5. And he needs to be more of a depth guy. Move the further you go with Hendricks, the more he has to be a depth guy. So I agree with that. But Cody, how about some bets from the road? What are you thinking about? What have you played anything today? Did you have time to place any bets?
I did not get a bet in time. And of course, the bet I was going to place, Wilson Contreras to hit a homer in his first game back at Wrigley. Yeah. I wanted to do it. It was +400. Even though the wind was blowing in, like, I wanted to do it, and then I didn't do it. And this is what happens. It happens every single time. All the degenerates understand exactly what I mean. When you don't place the bet, it actually happens. Scared money, don't win money. Anyway, I would have made that bet on PointsBets, my favorite app. It's the best way to support CHGO. And when you download the PointsBet app and use code CHGO when you sign up, if you do that right now, you get 2 risk-free bets up to $2,000. But that's not it. If you make a $50 or more first-time deposit, receive a free CHGO membership, which unlocks all of our web content, and you even get a free shirt of your choice from the CHGO locker. That's $2,000 in free bets, a free CHGO membership, and a free T-shirt from the CHGO locker, all for making more than a $50 first-time deposit at PointsBet. If you have any questions, you can email pointsbet@allchgo.com, and we'll help you out. Your home for live in-play betting just got even better. See an edge in the game you are watching. Is your favorite team primed for a comeback? Anyone live bet the Cubs today? That would have worked out for you today if you did. It really would have. It's a rare day, but it would have worked out. Don't just watch the game. Bet along with it live. More live betting, more live markets, and faster live cash outs. Follow along with your bets the moment they hit and stay in the live action all game long. Download the PointsBet app right now and use promo code CHGO So what do you wait for? It's time to elevate your live betting game. Once the game starts, don't just bet. Live your bet life with PointsBet. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER for crisis counseling and referral services.
I want to tell you guys about OWN, which stands for Only What You Need. OWN is a 100% plant-based protein shake that gives you nutrition, and it works as hard as you do. All the products are free of artificial ingredients, allergen-friendly, no gluten, no dairy, easily digestible. I heard about OWN because Bears quarterback Justin Fields follows a plant-based diet. He loves OWN, and now OWN and CHGO have partnered up to give you an awesome offer. You can get 20% off your first purchase at liveowen.com. with the code CHGO20. So join me and Justin Fields. Try OWN, only what you need. Good for a road trip, Cody. You know, when you're sweating in a 90-degree car and you're stuck at a truck stop without hardly any gas and you ain't got about a buck in your pocket, haul out the OWN out of the back seat. Save you sometimes.
Absolutely. I should. I forgot the OWN today. I'm going to pick up some OWN at the Whole Foods whenever I get into Champaign. But, you know, we do give the option for, you know, you use the code, you can just get it shipped straight to your house. It's a beautiful thing.
That's right. Yeah. Justin Fields, he's all about it. All right. So the pitching thing, I'm with Cody. Go ahead, Brian.
I got three quick things real fast.
Yeah.
One.
Yeah.
Cody, you're telling me you didn't roll over, grab your phone, open up Points Bet and hammer the Wilson Contreras home run bet. You had the time. You do that every morning.
I had the time and I thought about it. I really did think about it. And then I heard the wind was blowing in and I was like, I can't do it. And again, like that's what happens.
That one time.
Scared money is lost money. Yeah. It is every time. Yeah. So that's on me.
Number two. Steele, what was the quote Steele gave us back in spring? It was like, I'm just here to get people out, right?
Yeah.
Something like that.
I think that's it. I think
He's doing it. He does it.
He is
and
doing
you see it.
It. Yeah.
It's just you need him to get more. You need him to be able to go further. And that's, I think, in the second half, I guess, technically, over these last 2 months of the season, like that's what you want to see out of him, is just go getting those people out, but for you know, longer stretch, just getting into the sixth or through the sixth consistently. I think that's a good goal for Steele, as he's getting closer to his like career high in innings too, coming off a short spring, all that kind of stuff. So there may be like a taper off of that where they're kind of watching that towards the end of the season. But I think if he can get to a point where he should go six innings every time, because his pitch count's low, he's being more efficient. I think that's what you really want to see out of Justin over the last 2 months of the season. I think that gives you a really good sign for 2023 and, of course, like we said, I think we trust him in the division or in the rotation next year, regardless, right? Like he's proven that he at least deserves a shot. Like if 2023 is another exploring season, as Luke would like to say, that Justin Steele, he's a guy that's going to be in that rotation, should be in that rotation and given as long a leash as he got this year, because he's proven that he deserves this shot for a while moving forward. And then my third thing, Kyle Hendricks, even if he gets older, call back to mine and Brendan's story. He just got to learn a slider. Just learn the slider. Ask Keegan how it's done. It's going to extend his career, man. Like that. Go back and read the story if you haven't. Still pinned to my Twitter. But yeah, Kyle Hendricks learned the slider.
Is it free or do you have to be a member? Because people should get the membership too. It's like we want more likes and thumbs up and reviews and all that stuff on Facebook and on YouTube. But also make sure you become a member. Join the Discord. Discord's a cool spot where you can hang out and talk and not have to worry about kind of the jerks on Twitter sometimes.
Yeah, no, it's unlocked. That one was unlocked, but obviously, you know, we got more coming. Jared's got a story coming today. Like, you don't want to miss it. Sign up at allchgo.com. Give us, you know, get that membership and come read our stuff, because I like to think it's good. I'd like to think it's good. If other people think differently, then I don't want to hear it. But I like to think that what I and Jared and Brendan write, and what Cody writes too, is good enough.
I'll give you all kinds of good rankings that I'm sure the Cubs actually like, that because most of them are positive and not negative ever. So there you go.
hey, you know, so like, I don't think Cody's idea was, you know, sign the frontline guy. And we're saying DeGrom, and we're being wishful thinking DeGrom, because that would totally change the Cubs rotation completely. I kind of get this.
And he would have to opt out too.
Right. Yeah. I get the feeling that because they've invested so heavily in the farm system in pitching, that Stroman might be their move You know, that might be their one free agent move in starting pitchers. I'm not sure they're doing it, but I agree. I would like to see it, you know, because I think a couple of those guys are still not only at least a year away, but then they have to go through the process of what Steele and Thompson are going through now. You've got to take your lumps. You've got to learn how to pitch in the major leagues. Most guys don't just come in and start shoving right out of the gate. So you've got to figure it out and go through that. And you want the Cubs to be competitive. So, all right, that has to come before they're going to be likely very, very competitive. So a couple of names. One, obviously, if they were to go out there, the big name in free agency, if DeGrom's not there, is probably Rodon again.
Mm-hmm. If he opts out too.
If he opts out too, which he's having a great season, he almost assuredly will opt out and look for a bigger contract. I'd be okay with overpaying Carlos Rodon and having him just be kind of a Stroman-esque type signing, where then you would have Stroman, Rodon, and you could mix these young guys in with Hendricks, and you'd have yourself a pretty solid rotation in my eyes, at least for 23. And then you would hope that some of those young guys would come up and maybe they mix in with Stroman. Maybe Stroman's gone by the time those guys come up and are really, really good. But you would have depth. And like you said, if you bring back Miley at something, or Miley / Smiley at a competitive offer, at least you have depth there. You know, and frankly, some of these other guys have kind of shown that they deserve another look too. Like Sampson has kind of shown you that he could at least be a guy down in Iowa that can come up and start pitching doubleheaders at the very least. So
yeah.
I don't think they have to go crazy spending free agency for a starter, at least not yet. But I think they could kind of go that mid-level. I think Rodon would be expensive, but hey, you've told us that the money that you're saving this season and last season is going to be there for the free agents next season. So that's one guy. The other guy came across today that I hadn't seen before was John Morosi saying that a Japanese pitcher right-hander Kodai Senga is expected to consider major league deals coming up this winter. 29 years old, an ERA of right around 2 this season. He's eligible for international free agency, so he won't need a posting. And the first thing I thought to myself was, well, if you had Darvish helping get Seiya here, could Seiya impact this guy coming here? If he's enjoyed his time and wasn't too cold in the spring and too angry about, you know, the weather we told him he was going to get, could you have somebody like that help you get this guy at a reasonable rate? I'm not saying I know anything about this guy. I'm just looking at his ERA, and he's one of the better pitchers in Japan. And could he be added to that mix, or, you know, potentially be a middle of the rotation guy that adds to that depth? It's an interesting name. It's an interesting guy to keep an eye on, because I hadn't heard a whole lot about Seiya Suzuki at this point last year, and now he's on the Cubs. So I obviously, having him here should have some sort of assistance if it's a guy they want to look at.
Hey, man, anything that's going to help lure Shohei Ohtani to the Cubs in like a year and a half. Like,
yeah,
I'm all for it. Like, but that's a very interesting one though. I do like that name. I watched a highlight of him the other day and I was like, oh, this must be the next Japanese guy, right? There's always one like every year, right? So you know, I feel like the Cubs could use, you know, just the fact that they have Seiya as someone who could, you know, help the guy transition to living in the States and all of that stuff. But and obviously he'd probably be cheaper than Rodon and DeGrom. You know, I saw some comments. A lot of people I think they're mainly against getting DeGrom, mainly because of the injuries of
whatever
recent,
he's awesome. That's a risk I'd be willing to take.
Right.
If he, now while you're rebuilding, like,
right. If he can stay healthy, like, he is the best pitcher on the planet. And, you know, I think what you do, if you do try and go get a DeGrom, is you got to give that guy a few player options. Or you know, maybe in if you can get a team option in there just in case he does get hurt. But it feels like he's just like, why he would eat, like, he already said he plans to opt out even after being out half of this year, by being out for the last year, he already said he's planning to opt out. Like, that's how That's how good he knows he is. Mm-hmm. And like, that's something, that's saying something to me. So, again, we'll see when we get there. I'm just saying, like, someone of that caliber would be great to go to the top of the rotation that can help, you know, teach these young kids like how to pitch. I mean, John Lester was that type, right? He helped so many guys. He's already helping Justin Steele, and he's not even playing anymore, right? So the Cubs definitely need like one of those, you know, front end free agent, you know, who's been in the league a while, they can help grow these other pitchers, because you know, as much as I love the pitching depth on this roster right now and on the farm, like Luke said, you need some veterans in there who you can guarantee you're getting at least 150 innings from, and or more, obviously, and you know, can go out there and shove every fifth day. So yeah, no, I mean, I'm with you.
DeGrom, Stroman could be your Lester Arrieta.
You can never have too much pitching.
That's the thing about DeGrom too, in my opinion. Like, if you did get DeGrom, at least you had some guys. You know what I mean? Like, it's not like they wouldn't have someone who could, you know, come in and pitch. Of course, it wouldn't be as good as DeGrom, but like, I don't know. How many times in the past have we seen a guy get hurt and then like, oh, Cubs or whoever missing a guy? I mean, again, we got to see if Killian and Wesneski are going to be something. You got to throw him to the fire eventually. Wesneski, I'm still surprised he's not on this roster yet, because he's Rule 5 eligible, and he's, you know, he's MLB ready, they said. So I am surprised.
Sunday at AAA. Sunday at AAA, right. first appearance. So
I think I think we need to move on from DeGrom before Cody talks himself into the Cubs signing DeGrom.
We need to get out the water spritzer and spray him in the face.
Spray me. Let me think about all the things. The Cubs should be a franchise going for guys like that year in and year out. They should be.
Even if they don't get them. Like, that's
– yes.
We talked about
it. They should be in the conversation.
Yeah, we talked about it earlier in the year. It's like they shouldn't – it shouldn't be a thing where the Cubs are getting outbid by other teams for a guy they really want, right? Like, they have the resources. And they have they had plenty of cap space this year, so it's not like they, you know, are already over the luxury tags and whatever. It shouldn't be a situation where they're getting outbid for someone they really want, unless the deal the person gets is just terrible. And like, it just, you look at it and you're like, holy crap, how they get that much money? Like, that's one thing. But it's like, if it's a market, even a little bit above market value deal, and the Cubs just aren't willing to meet that, that's different than the guy just saying like, hey, like, I want, if Jacob DeGrom decides to re-sign with the Mets or the Cubs with similar deals, like, if Jacob DeGrom just wanted to stay in New York, then that's one thing, right? And that at least the Cubs try. That's what it should be. It shouldn't be they just didn't try or were outbid or something like that.
Right. Absolutely. Right. Yeah. And I mean, again, it's not going to stop you from getting Ohtani, because that's what we really want, right? Ohtani's the guy. Like, I saw Niren saying, hey, I heard the Angels make 30 to 40 mil in merch alone. Niren, what do you think we make in merch with the sick drip we have, baby? Huh?
Oh, my God. Yeah.
True. Seriously. The Hey Chicago, why, what do you say shirt is available right now, all city.
So it's why they don't. That's why they don't care that I wear Obvious shirts all the time. Like, that's why we have such a great relationship with Obvious shirts, because we're making so much money selling our shirts.
Everybody's making so much merch money, they don't even know what to do with it.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Not just the Angels, Niren.
Jack says, Samson, great depth guy. Jack R is asking as a depth guy. Yeah, again, he's another one of those that I've... I think he would be a really good, like... If going depending on the roster, say we're going in the next season with the pitching staff that we have right now, maybe they bring back Miley, and they still have Drew Smiley, right? I think Samson is a solid middle long relief reliever, and if you need to make a spot start, fine. If they sign a top of the rotation type guy like a DeGrom or a Rodon or whatever, I still feel the same. I still feel like he could be in the bullpen, if anything. But will he be in the rotation? There would have to be a lot of injuries, man. A lot of injuries. And I hope I don't have to see him in the rotation next year.
The other update we saw, I think, was this from you, Ryan, or was I seeing this today? That Brennan Davis, Miguel Amaya, we were told from the Cubs that basically, hey, guys, that's not happening this year. That's very unlikely.
I believe that was that Jed on 670.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jed Hoyer said it on 670 yesterday.
Yeah.
But, you know, our pipe dream to see Brennan Davis the last week of the season doesn't sound likely. And
yeah,
Miguel Amaya, yeah,
he is hoping they can go to fall league, though. So
yeah, I always thought both of those were kind of maybe not pipe dreams, but maybe just not the expectation. Like, again, Brennan Davis, like, but he had the best case scenario and the back surgery, right? And then he hasn't started playing in games yet, which they're hoping happens in the next couple of weeks. And then he's got to go, you know, doing that out in the Arizona Complex League. Then he's got to go out to AAA, you know, prove he's healthy and still, you know, and do well there to even earn like a promotion to the majors. And that's like, I kind of felt like a small window and a really, really tight, yeah, just a really tight window for that to happen. Same with Amaya, like he's hitting, you know, he's out in AA and he's able to hit. But it just doesn't, like, he's probably not ready to throw a ball or, like, you know, play catcher. At all. I think that's what Jed kind of said. He's just not really on that, really on the path right now to be able to like do that, especially not the big league level this season. So I always thought those were kind of long shots to see this year. But yeah, you definitely hope both of those guys are good to go and are able to make an appearance at some point next season. I think if Brennan Davis can make it through this season healthy, if Amaya fully recovers, they both go to Arizona Fall League, do their thing. And I think you can see them up at some point next year, maybe even early in the season. That would be, I think, the ideal scenario. But just this season just never felt like, oh, it's definitely going to happen for me. I thought just, again, kind of long shots. Like, if it happened, that would have been awesome. But you're maybe just holding your breath too much if you really thought like that was going to happen for sure. Yeah.
I'm going to get to Foco here in a second. But, Ryan, since Cody is in the Cody Cruiser sweating it out, give us your – travel stories as you guys passed each other probably on the highway at some point. What was so bad about this trip to St. Louis other than St. Louis is obviously boring and it's a terrible trip?
So I went, and so I you know, I left early. What was it, Tuesday? I left early. I made sure I got there early because, you know, I checked just kind of what my check-in time was, and it was 4, and the clubhouse opened prior to that. So I'm like, you know, I'm gonna get there early, you know, try to get an early check-in. I even called the day before, and I won't say the name of my hotel. I don't want people knowing where I'm at. You know, I call.
You stay under an alias anyways, let's face it.
They said they don't really do, like, they can't guarantee an early check-in, but just get early and see if rooms open up. I get there. Rooms hadn't opened up yet, and it was brutal. I got there like 1. I waited as long as I possibly could to check in, and it just didn't happen, so I was like, whatever, you know. I went to the park, did my thing on Monday, and the trade deadline day was just long. It felt long, even though a game went by quick. And it was a long day. I get back to my hotel, Tuesday night, I'm able to check in. I have all my luggage with me. It sucked, but I, you know, so I'm carrying that in, and I'm, you know, checking in. The guy at the front desk is like, he's on the computer, and he's finding my room, all this kind of stuff. And he just falls asleep. He just fell asleep as he's like watching my computer. He just fell asleep. And like, I'm waving my hand under his face. I'm like trying to look up, make sure he was actually asleep. And I'm like, this guy's
alive. Asleep. And
that too. But, you know, and then I don't want to embarrass the guy. I'm like, I don't like being in that situation where I'm like, hey man, get up. Like, I don't want to do that. So I'm like, I'm looking away. I start knocking on the desk, just like very nonchalantly waking him up. He wakes up, he gets me in, you know, he gets me in his room, checks me in, and I get upstairs. I, you know, do the key card. I open my door, and it has like the security latch on it, so the door won't open. I'm like, I think he just gave me the key to someone else's room. Like, so, there's probably someone in that room.
He was probably still dreaming. He wasn't even awake. He was sleepwalking.
So I had to go back down with all my luggage. I'm like, hey man, like, the security latch is on this door. I can't get in the room. I don't even know how, if no one's in there, I don't know how they could have put that on, but I can't get in my room.
Right. So somebody's got to be in there.
So he puts me in another room, and that was cool. Whatever. That was fine. And then Wednesday comes around, and it's the rain out day, right? It's so we're there all day until they finally call the game. I don't remember exactly what time it was, but we had been there for a while. And then, you know, a few of us beat riders meet up at one of those bars, right? Not too far from Busch Stadium. And we have a drink or two, just kind of hanging out. And that place closed at like 10. I'm like, what is this town? Why is it closing at 10 p.m. on a Wednesday?
Pittsburgh and St. Louis, both.
It's brutal. So there's another bar a little further away from Busch that I guess is like a lot of the Cubs beat writers or even just visiting beat writers or media people like to go to. So, okay, we'll go there. Didn't realize it was pouring rain at this point. Like when we had left Busch to go to this first bar, it was dry. It hadn't rained yet. And we're like, oh, it's probably not going to rain at all today. We get outside and this thing is pouring rain. And it's only a few blocks away. So it wasn't too far, but it was pouring rain. We walked it. I don't know why. We should have just Ubered. Like, that would have been the smart thing. But we just walked it, and we get into this bar. Just torrential downpour. I'm soaked from head to toe. Luckily, I was able to cover my backpack, so no water got in, whatever. We do that. We do our thing. We get home. It's all good. Thursday, just long day. Doubleheader. I didn't want to be there. It was hot. It was humid. Long day. And then leaving today, I'm trying to check out, and I'm having so many issues checking out. Not so many issues. It just took a while. The system was kind of weird, so I just couldn't get out. I'm like, the woman's like, thank you for your patience, seriously. I'm like it's okay. This happened the whole trip, the whole time I was here, this happened, right? Oh, also, last night we left, we're trying to find a place to eat. Kitchens are all closed by like 10:30.
Yeah, that's it.
This city, I need to leave. Hey. So I'm leaving today.
Yeah,
this is the last part. Leaving today, you know, it's a little later in the day, traffic kind of sucks, but whatever. I get off an exit. I think it was like going towards Dwight, Illinois. Never heard of it, but it's whatever. I get off, not realizing that I had to pee so bad. I had to use the bathroom so bad. I needed to put gas in. So I get off, and then
Casey's or the Shell.
It was a BP. It's a BP right there. I'm like, I like BP, or I like putting BP gas in my car, whatever. Because there's a BP close to my house that I use. So I get off, but I'm not realizing there's like an insane amount of construction on this bridge. And so they have the people with like the stop sign out here and like literally stop this on the exit. And so there's like backing up like all the way onto the interstate, just cars just lined up trying to get off this exit, finally get out, go to the BP. I'm like looking at another way. I'm like, there's no other route to get me back on the 55 for a while. So I just had to try to get back on. And I mean, they were doing their best to direct all the traffic, but it was like 3 o'clock already. There's a lot of cars trying to move. And I was stuck in one spot getting back onto the bridge to get onto the 55. And I was just stuck in one place for like 20 minutes. I'm like, this is perfect way to end my trip. It's just not moving. So I made it back in time for the end of the game. But it was a long week.
Who was with you walking in the rain? Because I'm imagining Gordon Whitmire in a wet T-shirt contest with a blazer over that. Just kind of walking through the streets of St. Louis trying to get to this tavern.
Gordo was not with this. It was myself. And then it was Jordan and Maddie Lee. Jordan Bash and Maddie Lee. Just kind of hanging out. We had a good time once we finally got there. It was just like pouring rain. And I'm like, why didn't we just Uber? It was pretty bad. It was pretty bad. But no, it was a lot. And we'll get to who you got. But I'm like, I think I deserve a couple points just for taking the St. Louis trip for the team.
Yeah, I'm not going to go that far.
I think I deserve it.
But I do want to tell you guys about FOCO. Chicago sports fans, your home for the best sports coverage is partnering with the leader in sports merchandise and collectibles. CHGO has teamed up with FOCO to secure access to the best collectibles and gear around, whether it's Bears, Cubs, White Sox, Blackhawks, Bulls. FOCO's got something for you, your kid, a friend, or a loved one. Looking to get some new gear, collectibles, or accessories? FOCO has officially licensed gear for men, women, kids, and everything from bobbleheads to swimsuits to Crocs. FOCO has you covered, and the best Chicago merchandise of all your favorite teams. Head to FOCO.com or click the link in the YouTube description. For all non-presale items, use the promo code CHGO for 10% off. Some good
get
deals
you that
there.
You match like warmer.
Get the Matt Schwarmer.
Bobblehead. Yeah, you can get it, baby.
Jared's here. He hasn't even lit up a stogie yet.
Not yet. They don't let me do that in here. If I could.
Can you show us the stogie before you light it up on Twitter?
It's back at my seat, my backpack. But I do have, it's a Romeo y Julieta AJ Fernandez today. So.
Well, that sounds expensive. That sounds smoky and expensive.
It's smoky for sure. Not too expensive. Not bad.
So what did they say? What did they say down there today after the Wilson? We're going to call it the Wilson Contreras game from now on.
Yeah, as it shall be known henceforth. No, it was, you know, Ross talked about that knack that Wilson has for coming up big in these kinds of moments. He did it today in the eighth inning. But I think the big takeaway is just, and I'm sure, you know, I know Ryan talked to him a little bit in St. Louis about this, but just the weight that Wilson feels like is off of his shoulders now that the deadline has passed and he wasn't traded. He talked about that a little bit more today, just saying he said it was hard for him to focus those last couple of weeks leading up to the deadline, just kind of waking up every day knowing that he might be traded. He even said just now that he'd be going up to bat during a game and thinking like, am I going to get pulled out of the game and find out I've been traded? So it was clearly like very much on his mind. And so I think what we've seen over the last couple of games, is including today, is he's kind of back to feeling like himself again. He doesn't have to worry about it. He did mention that, you know, he said it a couple of times, I'm with the Cubs for the next 2 months. So he knows like this, nothing's been guaranteed beyond October. But at least for now, he's feeling a little rejuvenated.
What about Justin Steele? Because, I mean, that was, we were talking earlier in the podcast while you were in the clubhouse getting interviews and stuff. It was a really good start, but it could have been a great start if he was somehow able to go a little bit deeper into the game. I mean, that was obviously the one flaw in his afternoon.
Yeah, and he spoke to that. He said, you know, he was a little disappointed that he wasn't able to get at least five innings. But he talked about the fact that, you know, the Marlins really did a good job of, you know, putting together some good at-bats, fouling off a lot of pitches, really kind of pushing him a little bit. And of course, any game that you strike out 10 guys, you're throwing a lot of pitches. And so it's naturally going to shorten your outing. And so he acknowledged that. He said he wanted to go longer, but it was just kind of the way it was going today. He talked about the fourth inning and just the way that he had to really focus in and get those last two outs with the bases loaded to keep the game from really, because that's a spot where things could have opened up pretty easily. But he was happy with that. But overall, I think the biggest takeaway is he wanted to go a little deeper into this one today.
I would agree. I mean, we were just talking about, I think he's pretty much locked up at least some sort of spot in the rotation next year. And I think Thompson has too. Unless they do something crazy, but I just feel like the season will start with those two guys in the rotation. I don't see there's any way other than injury that they wouldn't be pieces of a rotation when you start the season next year. They've shown me enough, and we still got 2 months left.
Yeah, at this point, what you're really looking at is getting these guys through healthy to the end of the season and letting them just keep going every 5 days and get to the end of it healthy, because you're right. I think they've very much shown that they should be parts of the rotation next year. So right now it's just going to be a lot of, you know, it's two more months of growth and development and facing some different types of situations and working through them, kind of like Justin Steele did today in that fourth inning. But yeah, I agree. These are Keegan Thompson, Justin Steele. These are members of the 2023 rotation.
What was the reception like for Wilson Contreras that first at bat? Because I tweeted it. I also returned to Chicago today, and I did not get
after a lot of drama in St. Louis. Wilson Contreras. Yeah,
my mom did not give me quite the ovation that the Wrigley faithful gave to Wilson Contreras when he got
that is a missed opportunity. You know, I think it's, you know, it's a shame. It really is. I only heard the last part of your travel saga, but knowing what, you know, especially yesterday, what you went through with the two games in one day and then driving back. But no, the reception for Wilson was, you know, it was what you would expect. There was a standing ovation. It got pretty loud. He had to step out of the box for a second. It wasn't the same as that last game here before we all thought he was going to get traded. It was much more emotional then because you thought you were saying goodbye. But then today it was just sort of like, you know, we want to acknowledge we're happy you're still here. But I think it was a different kind of moment. It wasn't quite as big. But then, you know, place, of course, got really loud in the eighth inning when he hit the home run. And it was just, you know, it's so fitting that of all the people to hit the go ahead shot today, it had to be him.
Yeah. Real quick, you mentioned the last game before we thought he was going to get traded. I think you meant to say the last game before you all thought he was going to get traded. I said he was not going to get traded.
That's right. That's right. You took the bold pick of no trade for Contreras, and you know, yeah, you got that one for sure.
We got to figure out the numbers on that whole thing.
I know. Cody, I was thinking about that today.
Yeah, I don't know when we're going to do it, but at some point we've got to do it here in like the next week or something.
Yeah,
and add up the numbers of what.
Tally up what we got. Yeah.
Cody, you had something.
I'm just looking at Cody right now. You know that Wrigley Field down the third base side where before the construction came through, it used to have
the glow, not let that go.
The warm glow that would come through this stadium right now. And I'm looking at Cody, and it's that same light coming through the stadium, but it's coming through his, you know, passenger window.
I will sit down. I will sit down Monday.
Is – you are in and out
for a second. We lost him for a second. They don't have the internet down there.
Anyway, is it? Am I in and out?
Yeah, you're back now. You're back.
My phone's been doing so good.
Oh man,
there he is. Just this entire time.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, all right. My question was, and I'll get it out real quick, was just if you got to talk to Madrigal at all. Madrigal today.
Yes.
Mickey, two hits.
What? Was he happy? How did he feel about his two hits?
He was. Yeah. He was happy.
I quit.
We did talk to him. He talked about – there it goes. Cody's out. Poor guy's probably hot in there too.
Yeah.
We talked to Madrigal, and he was obviously pleased with getting the two hits today. But he talked specifically just about feeling like – you know, the game has slowed down for him the last couple of games. I think he's really finally back in a rhythm, because between injury and long periods of time off, both last year and this year, I think for Madrigal, it's been tough for him to really find a rhythm. So that's what he talked about after the game today, feeling like he's back in a rhythm a little bit, and specifically mentioned feeling like the game has slowed down for him. But he kind of joked. He said, it's been two games. So he knows, like, let's not get out ahead of our skis here, but yeah, obviously he's feeling good.
It's good to hear that he's at least got something positive going. Maybe this is his building block that he needs to get it going. Cause I think a lot of people have been hoping to see something.
I think this is a perfect time to do who you got. One, yeah, because that's what I was gonna say. Because Cody's not even here, but he didn't.
Right. Cody forgot to vote because he was in the car without any gas on his way to Illinois to Champaign. And he probably just, you know what that was? He's probably like 200 yards from Cam's right now. And he's like, listen, I got to get in there before 6 o'clock. Like, I'm breaking up, guys.
Yeah.
So this was an interesting who you got, because Jared had it, right? Like, 10 sure. strikeouts, it was in the bag. And then Madrigal gets one hit, and you're like, well, he broke up the no-hitter. And he gets the second hit, and all of a sudden it's like, well, these two guys are going head-to-head. And all I said in the chat was, I'm banking on a huge at-bat coming here from Contreras. Let's see. Guys, I stole it. I stole who you got. This is three straight wins. I'm on a run like you can't even believe right now. I wish Cody was here, because he could give us the tally of what where we're at right now. And I don't want people to forget my three straight wins. I don't want this to go to, you know, we get to Monday and we're like, well, how many wins did Luke have? I don't remember. So people in the chat, please help us out here. Please help me remember in my old age that I've won three in a row here going into the hot weekend. Contreras was the Nostradamus call of the year so far. Bam, next thing you knew, home run, game over, we're doing a post-game show. I probably should get double points for calling the home run, too.
No. Well, I don't know about double points, but to your credit, you called it, because just a few minutes before Contreras came up to bat, you said he's going to come up in a big spot here, and sure enough, boom, left, you know, out to left field, 400 feet, just like that. It's totally different, because until then, it was all Justin Steele.
Yeah, I mean, Contreras wasn't even a factor. And I know Ryan was kind of trying to already weave his his storyline and his headline for how he was going to steal it from Steele. He was going to, I had two hits, Nicky, two hits. He hasn't had two hits all year. It's a two-hit game, you know. I could hear it. I had a rough ride from St. Louis. There's got to be a reason, my guy, you know.
Here's what the thing is. Like, Luke argued and got a point that Dodgers game that went till like 1 in the morning. And we felt bad for him and gave him a point. I deserve a point just for what I had to go, what I had to endure this last few days.
Going, you can have a point, but then I get two.
I disagree.
We don't each get a point. There's no way what Madrigal did equals what Wilson did today.
No. Fine, we'll go 2-1, and we'll both get a point. You know, Jared gets a point.
I was going to say, if we're Jared, throwing out points,
Jared here, could get a. I mean, Jared, you get a point too. You get a point.
Yeah, we're all closing ground on Cody.
Cody gets
right
none
now.
For missing.
Maybe negative one for not even giving a, giving a pick.
We shouldn't talk bad about Cody. We don't know what's happened to him. He's at a rest stop. Anything could happen there.
Yeah, don't let these be our last words about him.
Yeah.
But he, I mean, to Cody's credit, even though he didn't do it intentionally, had the game continued the way it was going, oops, might have been the right pick.
Yeah, exactly. He had it by picking nobody. He should have won at some point. But then we finally got – what did they end up – do you know what they ended up with strikeouts for the game? It was at 25 at some point. I didn't keep track the last inning and a half. I think it was over 25.
Yeah, it might have been.
13 for the Cubs and 13 for the Marlins. So, yeah, 26.
26 strikeouts. Ugh. They fixed it. They fixed baseball. No, then less strikeouts. It's going to happen.
We brought the DH to the National League for this.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Anything else? Any other nuggets we should know, Jared?
I should say I want to put this out there. Wilson was asked about whether or not he's really had a conversation with Jed Hoyer yet. Mm-hmm. He said no, he hasn't, beyond just kind of saying hi and exchanging pleasantries, but that he hopes to start talking about what the future holds soon, because obviously the question of what happens with Wilson at the end of the season is still out there. So for what it's worth to people, that those conversations have not started happening yet, although he just got back in town. It's been, 3 days since the deadline, so it's probably nothing to panic over.
Yeah, I mean, my advice to Wilson's agent would be to pick up the phone tonight and just leave a voicemail for Jed. Be like, hey, have a great weekend. Hope you're having a good one. Just wanted to let you know that Wilson had a good game today. If you didn't see it, thanks. Bye. Let's talk on Monday.
Just play the home run call from today.
Yeah, right. You know? Yeah, exactly. Yeah. All right, cool. Cubs win. They stopped the losing streak. They win 2-1 thanks to the 8th inning home run by Wilson Contreras. Thank you to everybody in the chat was here live, and everybody that's listening as well to the podcast. Thanks for checking out the CHGO Cubs post-game show podcast presented by PointsBet. Use the promo code CHGO when you sign up to get 2 risk-free bets up to $2,000. Cubs win. Have a great weekend. Fly the W.